Welcome to the Scare Guy Show, everybody, and our second annual hype list of all things Universal Studios Hollywood. We're doing the Hollywood version of Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights in Hollywood. It's running now through October 31st on select nights. Welcome, everybody. We have a great group tonight. I'm going to just go ahead and say that we are toasting. We are toasting Halloween, right, Katie? Give a toast for us. Katie?
What's up?
You want to give a toast for us?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm just going to say cheers to spooky season, or the time of year where the people who aren't spooky all year long will accept us at our best, if that makes sense.
So. All right. Here we go.
Cheers.
Cheers.
The Scare Guy happy hour has begun. Woohoo! All right. Let's go ahead and start introducing ourselves because we got a lot to talk about tonight. I am excited. Guys, I had people contacting me on social media saying, "So are you guys ever going to do another podcast?" I'm like, yes, we just took a break. San Diego Comic-Con kind of wore us out.
It was exhausting. Okay.
Yes. It wore us out. We've done another Scare Guy podcast. We did an interview with the director and stars of a new movie that came out called Good Boy. Very disturbing, but well done movie. It's a Norwegian film. Hmm. So you got to read it when you go along, but it's great. It's great.
Also, anyways, Ben, nice Disney Halloween flannel, by the way.
Oh, nice.
I have the same one. It's the only reason I know it's from Disneyland.
Skull Mickey ear.
Well, Jack. Let's introduce ourselves real quick. I'm Jim. I'm one of your horror hosts here. And right next to me is...
It's me, Katie, Final Girl Katie, ready to kick off this. This is my first Scare Guy of this season. So don't mind my not wearing a horror shirt. I apologize. I went to the Jonas Brothers this weekend, but I'll be back in my horror stuff, you know. Also, I don't think anybody's seen
that my haircut. That sounds pretty horrible to me anyways.
But no one's seen my haircut yet that watches the show.
I was about to ask you about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know.
Kind of got
shaved on both sides now.
You got like a samurai thing going on.
Yeah, it's too bad it's not Ren Faire season because like
my hair is totally...
Yeah,
so. That's super rad. You're punk rock, girl.
All right, the other con girl, also one of the Scare Guy mainstays.
What's up? My name is Danae Sams. I'm a comedian and writer based here in LA, and this is my first like con guy show in a while. I'm really excited.
Scare guy.
It's all under the umbrella. Guys,
we have Scare Guy, and I haven't done
just
one
well
in a while.
Actually.
Well, anyway, actually,
Scare Guy's just the darker, scarier side of the con guy. That's all it is.
Yes, but I haven't done either in a while, as I was saying. But I'm excited to be here. I am wearing a spooky shirt. Got my rock and roll.
Yes.
Rock and roll, bones, all of that stuff. I have ranked my haunted houses. I've checked the TikToks, and I'm excited to talk Halloween.
And if you guys will give me just 19 seconds, Danae, this is for you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy
birthday to you.
But we're going to get to Halloween Horror Nights really quick because we're losing viewers as we prattle on and on. All right. Danae, by the way, Danae's birthday is coming up this weekend. She's having a Dolly Parton themed birthday party.
My birthday is in 2.5 weeks.
Well, I don't know when it is, but I know when
and
the
my
party
birthday
is.
Party is. But yes, Dolly Parton. I got to shift from Dolly Parton to Halloween.
All right.
Ben is anxious to talk. Let's go to him.
And we are very, very, very privileged and excited to have a special guest with us tonight. She does make some appearances with us on The Scare Guy from time to time, but she is one of the experts when it comes to horror films. Natalie.
Oh. Oh, that's so nice. What an introduction. I'm a producer. Nice to be here. I love being on The Scare Guy. It's my favorite podcast to be on.
All right.
Great. So, horror movies.
Have you pulled out your lovable Terrifier doll yet?
He's right behind me.
Oh, wait. We need to, let's.
I was going to say, Jim.
He's right there. Oh, my gosh.
He's right behind me. It's the Burr months. He's ready to go.
The Burr months.
That's the Terrifier is one series that I haven't taken to. It's a bit, it's much. And Natalie just loves it. And I'm like, you are something. All right.
I feel like Terrifier is one of those
that really splits people down the middle. Like, you either love it or you hate it.
Oh, I see what you did there. Have you seen it?
I don't know. Maybe I have. Maybe I haven't. Yes, the splitting down the middle one I saw. That's what kind of like, oh my gosh. Saw. All right, Ben. Hey, everybody. It's me, old buddy Ben. I'm an actor, comedian, sometimes writer, in general entertainment industry stuff. So that means I'm not doing much right now. But drunks.
Brad.
I'm not even drunk. This is Cherry Coke. I'm off the sauce for a minute. Blood good. All right. We got that out of the way.
All right. Real quick. Let's just say hello to Lily.
Lily.
And also Andy. Good to see you. He wishes Danae a happy birthday.
Thanks, Andy.
Hey, Ben, what's been going on with you real quick before we start? What's been going on?
What's been going on? Oh, man. Hold on.
You had a really cool something happened recently.
What really cool something
desert, happened? Desert.
Oh, no. That's in a couple weeks.
Oh, that's right. It's not Labor Day weekend. You didn't get stuck in the mud out in Black Rock Desert.
Yeah, I was about to say, when has Ben ever gone to Burning Man and gotten stuck in the mud?
Not a burner. No, I will be going to Wasteland Weekend in a couple weeks, which I'm super excited about. We can talk about that on another show upcoming, but it's really fun. I like to call it post-apocalyptic Renaissance Fair. Because everybody's in costume and you just pretend like it's Mad Max post-apocalypse for 5 days.
Fantastic.
And you camp out in the desert and it's a blast. And I keep trying to get Jim to come.
I'm trying to.
Oh, I'm going to be gone Labor Day weekend. I'm like, it's not on Labor Day weekend.
I know. I still thought it was Labor Day weekend just now.
Ben, did you go to LOJ?
No, I did not. We stopped going to LOJ a few years ago. We kind of got burnt out on it.
That's LOJ.
The Labyrinth of Jareth. It's a two-night ball that's usually held at the Biltmore Hotel in downtown Los Angeles. And it's themed like Labyrinth, the ball that Jareth throws in the middle of the movie, if you're familiar with it. Which, if you're watching the show, you're probably familiar with Labyrinth. Yep. But yeah, we haven't gone to LOJ in a number of years, but it's always a fun time. You know, people do crazy costumes. It's really amazing, some of the work that people do. But yeah, we had to cut back on a lot of our like big things that we go to all the time. So it's a smaller selection, and we like to think we've curated it to our interests.
We have one more person to introduce who just popped in. Who is that?
What's up, everybody? Cheeseman. One of your original scare guy, scare host, screenwriter, and fellow scare nerd.
That's right. Everybody, we are super stoked because we are in the scare season. September is the official start of the Halloween. Isn't it weird how this is the official start of the Halloween season? Remember when it used to start in October? Well, I don't remember that. That's been so long ago when that happened.
I'm sorry. I started on July 5th, so I don't know.
For me, it starts the day after San Diego Comic-Con. That is, but this is what we're doing tonight, because to kick off this, one of the biggest, most exciting events on the West Coast as far as scare events is concerned, haunt events, is the Halloween Horror Nights. It's also it's on both coasts. Orlando and L.A. both have their Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights. We are coming to you from the dark and sinister heart of Hollywood, so we're going to be talking about the Hollywood version, and most of us will be going to that. Some of us may not, who knows, but we're not going to talk about that. Anyway, so what we've done, I'm going to show you guys this. We have gone through, each person here has gone through, there are 8 houses plus the Terror Tramp, so like 9 horror events that have been planned. There's 3 scare zones, and there's a couple of shows, and everybody here has ranked them. So this is called a hype list. With a hype list, a lot of the different podcasts that talk about the Horror Nights, they all have what's called a hype list. So where you go through and you rank from one to whatever, what you're most excited about and why. And we're going to go through that tonight. But just to get everybody kind of excited, I do have a quick little video that's going to give us a little bit of a feel for what we can expect this year. You guys ready? By the way, if you don't want any types of spoilers, don't watch. All right, here we go.
I'm not watching.
That looks awesome. All right, Eddie, Stranger Things. All right, for those of you who are listening, we're inside the Stranger Things maze. Can you guys hear me, by the way?
Yeah. I can hear you.
All right, feel free to comment, guys. I'm going to turn down the sound a little bit. We won't watch the whole video because it's a little bit lengthy. We'll probably end the show with this, but
I mean, the Stranger Things stuff looks really great.
It looks so stinking amazing.
Okay, I'm not. We need to like.
Okay. We'll only, Natalie. We'll only go for about another 45 seconds, then we'll stop this. this is the least. Oh my gosh.
Last of Us.
I almost said Least of Us.
Can't see, but you have
and
to.
And here's the one that I have thoughts about, but still. Okay. We're back. That kind of gives us an idea. For those of you who have not been to Halloween Horror Nights, that kind of gives you an idea of a little bit of what you can expect. That did take us kind of inside some of the houses and doing some walkthroughs, more than perhaps what a lot of people were expecting, more than what I was expecting. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and start. And Katie, let me ask you your opinion. We're going to rank the houses, but also the scare zones. But what about the shows? Before the show, you said that the shows were pretty cool. Do we need to rank them or just talk about them real quick?
We can just talk about them.
All right. So let me see. Do I have the show? No. So do you guys, let me tell you about the shows. And Katie, I know that you looked at this. The shows we got this year, Blumhouse Behind the Screams. It's an original concept that showcases a selection of Blumhouse horror films, including... And this is what I'm most excited about, the Five Nights at Freddy's and The Exorcist Believer, as well as Megan and the Black Phone. And then the second house is featuring The Purge, Dangerous Waters.
It's not a house.
It's a show. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. And it's taken over Waterworld. It's a great big Waterworld show. So
yes. So can I talk about it?
Yes, please.
So I didn't know about this until my wonderful former coworkers were posting from previews of The Purge. I had no idea. I didn't see the announcement about them doing a show at Waterworld, but that's massive. Like, to have a stunt show at Horror Nights, I am very excited to see this, especially in the Waterworld set, to see something new at the Waterworld set. I mean, Waterworld is fantastic. It holds up even to this day. There's a reason it's the longest running, you know, live action stunt show. But the fact that they can incorporate The Purge into it. Also, I am weirdly obsessed with The Purge. Like, it terrifies me. Like, the idea of The Purge actually happening terrifies me. Mm-hmm. But it fits so well in any set. Like, because you can have it be any set. And it works because that's what it is. And I'm very, very stoked to see this. I was like, oh, they're not using the queue this year. Then it made sense why, because they're doing a show. And I'm really, really excited to see the show and see see something related to Halloween and horror as a show component at Horror Nights. Because, you know, Jabberwockies, it's great. No shade at Jabberwockies. But it wasn't horror. It wasn't Halloween. It wasn't that vibe. And I wanted something that translates to horror. And so that's why I was really excited to hear that they're doing a show that is specific to horror.
I never once saw Jabberwockies during Halloween Horror Nights, and I had no interest in it. It just seemed too...
I wonder if that was for people who aren't into Halloween and aren't into horror, that it kind of allowed them something to do. But it's
maybe.
Let's be real. Everybody that's going... Like, the horror audience and Halloween audience is expanded so much since they started doing this. So I think need to placate anybody that's not interested in going and seeing these mazes or whatever. Let's just give everybody what they want and more of it.
Yeah, and I mean, I like the Jabberwockies, don't get me wrong. I just always wished that they incorporated Halloween into the show when they had the show. That would have made all the difference to me. But the fact that we're doing that, and then, I mean, honestly, I love seeing movie magic, and to bring a Blumhouse behind the Screams thing to the to Horror Nights to show you a little bit of the movie-making process at the entertainment capital of Los Angeles, it's really nice to see them bringing that into it as well and keep that partnership with Blumhouse going, but in a new way, not just doing like another maze like they've been doing for many years now. They are giving us another opportunity, which I like. So.
Who here is familiar with the upcoming film Five Nights at Freddy's?
I've seen the trailer.
It looks horrifying, but it is one of the biggest biggest IPs to come through in a long time. Yeah.
I'll talk about that when we rank our mazes, but I am absolutely terrified of
It's not in one of the mazes, Katie.
No. Oh yeah, that's right. They're doing it there, but I meant like talking about
here. No worries.
Sorry, y'all. So I am insanely terrified of that movie, but I will see.
Yeah.
Because watching the video game gives me anxiety and stresses me out. So that being said, I will not play the game, but I will see the movie. It will probably give me anxiety, but I'm going to go. Because a lot of people don't realize, like, I don't know, you guys, I don't know how familiar you guys with art, but it is massively popular, especially amongst kids.
And this is the 10-year anniversary. This is the 10th anniversary of Last of Us, which is here. And this is the 10th anniversary of Five Nights at Freddy's, which is here, which is interesting how the video games are now becoming a big presence at the event.
True. And Five Nights at Freddy's is massively popular amongst young children, which I don't understand. I could never have done that as a kid, but it is massively popular.
I can see Natalie would have been doing it as a kid. She would have loved it.
It's going to be terrifying, but also Josh Hutcherson, like, I'm going to go see it, like, for that reason too, Flo.
All right, guys.
I just saw the weekend, go ahead. And it really seemed like he phoned it in. I was just like, I don't know. I'm curious to see the movie, but it just...
Yeah. Which one? Five Nights at Freddy's?
Yeah. It just in the trailer, it feels really flat. I'm like, I hope you do something more I'm going to see it.
Yeah.
The concept is so fun, but I was a little disappointed with his performance just in the trailer.
That's fair.
All right.
Yeah, be excited, man. This is fun.
So we got two shows, Blumhouse Behind the Screams, Exorcist Believer, Five Nights at Freddy's, Megan and the Black Phone will be featured there. And then the second show is The Purge Dangerous Waters, taking over the water show at Universal Studios. That's pretty cool. So those are the two shows that are coming. Let's go ahead and jump in. And I'm going to go to Ben for this one. Ben, on a scale of 1 to 3, with 1 being your most anxious, the most exciting, and 3 being the one that you're least excited about, of the 3 scare zones, which one is number 3 for you?
Number 3 in the scare zones for me, toys with a Z, toys. Listen, I like scary stuff, but I'm like, come on, like toys. Like, yeah, I mean, it's going to be scary, I'm sure, but I'm just like, let toys be toys. Like, don't make them scary and dangerous. Like, when I want scary, I want supernatural. I want, and I'll cover that when we talk about the other two here. But you know, when I want scary, I want vampires. I want something that's, you know, like possessed toys. It's why it's also, I'll talk about Chucky. I'm not super stoked on Chucky. It's just not my thing. I'm not a big Chucky guy. So, you know, like possessed toys and stuff like that. Not my wheelhouse. I know tons of people love it. No hate whatsoever. It's
sounds
just
like you might be scared of toys.
No, I'm not scared of toys. I've got plenty of them in here.
Do my American Girl dolls bother you, Ben?
Yeah, do those bother you?
No, see, dolls are supernatural, but my Boba Fett Slave One and you know, Batman over here, I'm not scared of those guys.
Danae, what's number 3 for you?
So number three for me, I was actually thinking like, I'm going to butcher this, apologies, but the El Terror de las Momias. Okay. Because, mummies don't really scare me. When I was seven, I saw the 1999 film The Mummy starring Brendan Fraser for the first time, and I can still quote every line from that movie because I love it. So like mummies for me, I'm just like excited and reminiscing on childlike wonder. So I'm like, I'm not scared, but I'll still go because I love mummies and I would love to quote the mummy while walking through some mummy.
He's here.
Natalie.
Well, you can do that riding the mummy ride. Oh.
Number three, oh, Natalie.
And I will again.
My number three?
Yep.
I mean, that was, it was going to be the El Terror.
Okay. Yeah. Number two for Natalie.
For me, toys. Yes. I'm okay.
Okay, there we go. There we go. Ben, what was your number two?
My number two.
I'm glad that that's happening down there again. You know, so I think that's more of maybe the excitement of toys.
Wait. Say that again. You're glad what's happening?
It's on New York Street.
Which is the back lot, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, New York Street.
So I'm excited to get back down there again.
Do they mean the back lot, New York Street? Because there's also New York Street in the front of the park. That's why I was confused.
Okay, that irritates me. By the way, I think it is the front of the park, Natalie, because for the rec, I looked at the map tonight before the show, and maybe I'll pull it up here. I don't think the map has anything listed in the back, the far back lot.
New York Street is the second half of the entrance of the park.
Oh, that bugs me. That bugs me a lot.
So we're going to do two themes in the opening?
That was what I was going to talk about. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then that's not number two.
It's confusing because if it was on the back lot, that would be awesome. But
I assumed that was New York Street was, you know, we were going to get back on the back lot. And I was like, great. And that's what I was excited about.
Me too. I will try to find it while we're sitting here. Does anybody? Okay. So we've covered. So Danae has El Terror de las Momias as her number three. Ben has toys. And Natalie, you kind of have both of those as number three and number two.
Now they're sharing three together.
All right. Luke Cheeseman, what's your number one?
Toys.
Oh, geez. Can you tell I'm trying to get to a different
one? I think here? It might be kind of fun. I don't know. You know, toys? I'm excited about Chucky as well.
Well, real quick, let's do it. Maybe just popcorning around. Let me do my. We'll do our 3, 2, and 1, and then move on to the next person. And
sounds good.
So, toys was number three for me. In a similar fashion, ghosts is number two for me because anytime you're spelling something with a Z, I'm like, the 90s called. They want their Z back.
Doesn't that look like the nun back there?
The giraffe there, called. He wants a spelling back.
But look at the image here. It looks like the nun from The Conjuring.
See, all I'm seeing is the mummy when he's in the sand.
In the sand cloud?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, it's a blood-soaked, chainsaw-wielding ghosts at the... And again, it's at the entrance of Halloween Horror Nights. So it's kind of, this isn't so much an activation in my opinion as we're going to have people running around scaring you when you walk in the door, and that's fine. But I do like the concept of the El Terror de las Momias. Cause I like mummies, like that's a real thing. And they're kind of creepy. And these aren't Egyptian mummies. These are like Latin American mummies, which is like a whole other ball game. And it's like, I don't know. It's there's a lot of creep to dig in on there and dig in, pun intended, I guess, unintentionally. But yeah, I'm excited for that. I like that. I
kind of agree with you. One of my, perhaps my favorite scene of any Halloween Horror Nights I've ever seen on either coast was out here in California when they did the Curse of the final scene when I walked in and this giant demon witch ghost was eating somebody off of their bed and swallowing them. And it was like, holy crap. That was just, So, like, this Mexican folklore kind of interests me. This is interesting to me. Or Latin American folklore.
So, can I go next?
Yes.
So, because I have an interest, a little different spin on it than what you guys have been saying. My number three was also mummies. Mostly, though, just because I'm not a particular fan of that particular location that that's in. It's never been my favorite. It's always been a little bit underwhelming to me because they don't do a lot with the scenery because it all has to be able to be pushed aside for day ops. So the whole setting of that doesn't really, it kind of takes me out of it a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's right after the maze. So to me, it kind of just feels like an extension of the maze, which isn't a bad thing. It's just always been kind of like my least favorite scare zone, aside from Tunnel. Tunnel's the worst, but that one's my least favorite. And then I did Toys second, because I love Krampus, and it's kind of reminding me of like a Krampus vibe where the toys are all kind of possessed and everything. So that's why I put Toys second, because of my love of like kind of that. And it's creepy, and you know, I'm curious to see what they do with it. Because it could be really good. It could be mediocre. It just depends on how they execute it. My first would be Ghosts, just because my heart has a special love for Scare Zone 1 when you first come into the park with the chainsaws. And the chainsaws are known. That's what makes Universal, like, puts them in a different place than other scares in the area. So Scare Zone 1 always kind of has a special place in my heart to see what they do with it. And then, of course, the opening ceremonies and all that. So I always like the first part. It sets the vibe for the night, and usually there's really cool designed characters and, of course, the stilt walkers and everything like that. So it's the loudest part of the park, but I do really enjoy it. They seem a little bit, aside from that, though, like Ghosts, Toys, and Mummies, it does seem kind of a little bit generic, though.
Yeah.
That's my one thing. It's kind of like, how much can they elaborate on that? I'm sure they do well, but like that's my only like con that I would say with these is it seems a
ghost,
little
ghost toys mummies ghost yeah. toys mummies. I mean, I'm sure we'll all
the ghost description too is everything they've had in the past. Yeah. I'm saying this is my number one, and that's because as much fun as I have every year going and the entire evening, the first 5 minutes is always the most fun I have. Like that energy and vibe and excitement I feel walking into there, nothing matches that ever. And so you could put anything in there. I'm gonna love it. That's the thing I'm gonna be most excited by. It's like, I'm here. It's this time of year. Nothing gets me more excited than that.
It puts you in the like Halloween, like it's Halloween, like spooky season.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. If I can make this work, share. I'm trying to do it. Trying to make it work. Can you guys see my screen?
Nope.
No.
No.
Oh, I guess it didn't work. So.
Just said no. Let me all just.
So let me do it one more time. Share the screen. Chrome tab. Entire window.
I'm having flashbacks to early lockdown.
Can you?
Yep.
Wait.
Well. Nope.
Wait, can you see this?
Oh my goodness. What is that horrifying thing?
Wait, I can't see anything except for the map. Are you guys looking at the map?
No,
we're looking at our YouTube broadcast. Our show.
I'm going to stop this. This is ridiculous.
Hey.
That looks terrible.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, stop sharing. Okay, I'll learn how to do that. I have the map pulled up on my computer, and I was trying to share it, but I guess it's not going. All right, we're going to hop into – jeez, that was scary. We're going to hop into the houses. This is what everybody came here for. We have – let me ask you a question and see what you guys think. We have 8 haunted houses plus the Terror Tram. Do we go 1 through 9, or is the Terror Tram separate? You tell me.
I think it counts.
Good. Because it takes up time. How about we say the 9 things that take up time that scare you?
Okay.
All right.
So I have a question, though. What if we go by maze and then we say where it is on our list?
Ooh.
That's a good idea, Katie.
Yeah. So that we can kind of hear where everybody is feeling on that particular maze.
I like that idea.
I think it's a fantastic idea. All right.
Which are we starting with?
Okay. We will start tell you what, I'll give the description of the maze, and then we will go around and let me know. So, number one on the list, The Last of Us. So, The Last of Us lets guests step into the world of Naughty Dog and PlayStation's award-winning post-pandemic video game as they venture alongside Joel and Ellie through an overgrown Pittsburgh and survive against clickers, humans, and more. So, let's start with this one. Cheeseman, where did this... Oh, wait. Katie. Katie's right next to me. Let's start with Katie.
This one's one.
Oh, this is your one, huh?
Yes. Because first, it's never been done before. Yes, they've done zombies, but they have not done The Last of Us, so it is a new maze for this year. Which you will hear me repeat multiple times in this as to new versus not new. Last of Us, also I rage quit the video game. Literally rage quit it. and have not picked it back up again. But I know I didn't see the show because I just never got around to it. And also I was like, will I ever finish the game? Do I want to watch the show? It's a big battle. But I think it's a good mix because I feel like you have to be careful with zombie-esque content now because people kind of, it is kind of oversaturated, but it is new and I'm very excited about it. And the game is wildly popular. And then the show just came out. So I think it's a good timing for it. It's very popular right now. And I've heard good things so far from what I've seen kind of on TikTok and stuff. So I'm most excited about this one.
All right. Cheeseman.
Because I haven't really seen it yet. And I need to. I would actually really like to see it. I put it at seven just because, not because I think it's bad or any kind of, I just haven't seen it yet. So I wasn't as excited about that as other things because I just haven't seen the show yet. But I do want to see it and check that out. And then I'm sure it would jump up a lot higher on mine.
Natalie, I got to know why you're shaking your head.
Because I'm an idiot and I haven't seen it.
It's my number one. And the show is phenomenal. I'm not a gamer. I don't play the game. I was very much like, who needs another zombie show? We do. It's fantastic.
And
it's,
I mean, so bad. Is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I can't wait. I really want to see. It's new content. I'm really excited to see what the maze is going to be.
Danae.
Yeah, it was number four for me. Natalie, we've had like the same answer on so many things already. I feel like we're just going to like line right up because I am also not a gamer, but I loved the show because who doesn't love Pedro Pascal? And I'm excited for it, but I'm more excited for a few other things that we'll get to. But shoot. Number four for me. And I think it'll be fun.
Can I say something? I don't know if it matters or not, but the house is not based on the TV show. It's based on the video game, which is a big difference.
That tracks. Well, not much
of a difference. I understand the artwork.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, so this
is going to be the game. Okay, then number eight then. I'm just kidding.
No.
I'm terrified to see certain characters in that house.
Katie, can I ask you, how much does the TV show and the video game align with each other? Are they pretty similar?
I've heard they're pretty close from what I've heard. Because most of the time when you have a live action adaptation of a video game, it's night and day. Usually people don't like the live action adaptation. But everybody I know who played the game did enjoy the show, as far as I know.
All right, Ben.
So this one comes with a caveat. So I have this one, same as Luke, listed at number seven. And that is because I started playing the game a long time ago and I never really got into it. I think I don't have a lot of time to play a lot of video games. So, you know, I have a copy of Skyrim that I have never touched. So there's that. And then when the show came out, obviously, like, my wife and I knew everybody was talking about it. It's the, you know, a masterpiece of a television show. And we were like, that is fantastic. And I'm sure it is. But we were kind of tired of shows where you're like, I'm sad after the end of each episode, like just devastatingly sad at the end of every episode. We knew that this, despite it being an amazing television show, was going to be one of those shows where we're like, we're sad after every episode. And so we didn't start watching it because we knew that was going to be the case. So having very, very limited experience with The Last of Us, being aware that it's amazing, I can't get super excited about it just because I don't have that connection to it.
You might leave the maze sad, and I don't want that to happen to you.
Natalie, can Natalie, what do you think about the statement about feeling sad at the end of every episode? Because I saw you kind of,
I don't fully agree. I think that, and it's I'm coming at it from different perspectives as somebody that is in the industry and appreciates film and content and how it's made and the storytelling aspect of it. So it's maybe I'm coming from it and appreciating and a little bit happier than maybe regular audiences would be. So I think there's other things from it that could be influencing my feelings on it.
All right, we're going to go on to the next one here, guys. Evil Dead Rise brings guests to a new twisted tale in the Evil Dead franchise based on New Line Cinema's 2023 film that was just released this past year. All right, let's start this time with Ben's.
This one actually
this way.
Yeah, so this one actually just above Last of Us, Evil Dead Rise. I didn't see the movie. My wife did. I love the Evil Dead franchise. This goes along more with my kind of supernatural, demonic possession type of The Last of Us maze is the reason I want to go to UH. There you go. Thank you, Andy. This got a tick above Last of Us just because it is along those lines of the supernatural, demonic possession, super creepy, disturbing. I like that kind of stuff. So this bumped up a little bit above Last of Us for me.
Natalie.
This is my number 7. I didn't see this movie. I do have an appreciation for the franchise, but shockingly, it doesn't feel like a fresh, theme or movie to kind of be, bringing into Universal. I don't know if they've done it in the past. It just immediately didn't scream out something I really wanted to see. So I'm kind of impartial to it.
All right, Danae.
So I have to be honest, I have a 1 through 5 that I'm excited about, a number 9 that I don't want to do at all, and then the 3 in the middle I just kind of threw together. So this is one that I just kind of threw on the list, and it's 6 randomly, but it's like anywhere between 6 and 8. I'm just like, I don't know anything about it. I don't really care.
That was a good Arnold Schwarzenegger impression.
Oh, really? Yeah, I was trying to do an impression of you.
Cool party.
You got Luke down.
Yeah.
Cheeseman.
I was 6 as well. So yeah, I would be more excited if it was kind of more of the past, like Evil Dead kind of stuff. Again, like Natalie, I didn't see this one yet, so I can't really say a whole lot, but I, again, like her, respect, the franchise and all that. So yeah, I'm definitely interested in this one, but yeah, it's kind of more, there's more stuff I'm more excited about.
I think
about.
That's the danger that Universal's great at taking IP and make it great mazes and great haunted houses. But the danger is when they have something so contemporary and so like of the now that people just don't know yet. And there's some other houses in here that I feel that way about, but I won't jump into that right now. All right, Katie.
Me and Natalie are 5 and 5, by the way, because it is also my number 7.
Yep.
We've been on the same exact wavelength. So I haven't seen any of the Evil Dead. So that's also why I put it at 7, just because I've never seen it. So like, it's just kind of like, if I don't run out of time at the end of the night, I'm probably not going to go to it kind of thing. Right. Cool. They did Ash versus the Evil Dead, but I don't know if they've done Evil Dead, but they did do Ash because that was when, a few years back.
I encourage you to see Evil Dead Part 2 if you ever get a chance. Masterpiece.
That's the hard thing about these horror
masterpiece
franchises.
Of gore.
That's another hard thing about like these franchises is like once you haven't seen it, you then have to like figure out which ones in this long history of the franchise you need to watch and which ones you don't need to watch. Yeah. And sometimes it just gets too overwhelming for me and I'm like, I'll just go to something else. So, but also that's why I put it at 7, but it could kind of like what Danae said, the bottom, like 3 of my list could kind of just be interchangeable. Mm-hmm. So,
all right. And we'll keep going around this way. So, we'll start with Natalie this time and then we'll go Natalie, Danae. We'll just keep going. What, wait, clockwise, something like that.
Counterclockwise.
Yeah, counterclockwise. Yay. Chucky Ultimate Kill Count, inspired by the hit USA and sci-fi series and cult classic films, features the infamous slasher doll and his best kills throughout the series and films. Interesting, interesting. What do you think, Natalie?
So this is number four on my list. Again, it's not the like freshest, most exciting one that I'm looking forward to, but Chucky, I grew up with Chucky. So it's like, okay, Evil Dead, there is an appreciation to the filmmaking aspect of it, but I didn't grow up with it. So I think Chucky to me will always have a really special place in my heart. I haven't watched the show though. So I'm just, for nostalgia reasons, kind of still excited to have Chucky a part of my life, you know?
Yeah. Danae.
So I actually just saw Child's Play for the first time a couple weeks ago.
Which one?
And I really enjoyed it. Like,
which one?
The first one, the very first Chucky Child's Play. Because Chris Anderson and Brad Dourif, Prince Humperdinck and Rigrima Wormtongue are both from West Virginia. So just for that reason alone, I loved it. I really enjoyed it. I was so impressed by the quality of film that it was. So for me, this is number three. I feel good like I'm very late to the game, but I'm finally in the Chuckyverse. You remind me a little bit too much of Chucky from Rugrats because they both wear like the same color scheme almost and they both have red hair. But
I think that was actually done on purpose.
I think that was done on purpose.
I had a feeling. I had a feeling.
There's not. It's not. It's definitely not a coincidence. Like, yeah.
Cheeseman.
I'm kind of with Natalie again on this one. I put it as number four. Like her again, I haven't seen this, but I've seen like the older movies, and I'm just happy to see Chucky has his own maze because they've had him, you know, do like tram stuff, or they've had him there kind of roasting people and got in trouble and all that, but I'm glad to see Chucky's back and now has his own kind of maze. So I'm interested to see what they do with it. So yeah, Chucky has a long history as being kind of one of the main kind of horror icons, you know, with the Freddies and the Jasons. And
remember a couple years ago, Luke, when we were leaving and Chucky had a little like show like way up in a window as you're leaving the park.
Yeah.
And that was all he was there. And it was kind of cool.
But didn't they stop it because they were like, oh, he offended some people something?
He was a little bit, because Chucky's pretty foul-mouthed.
Yeah.
We heard that they stopped the show because he got a little way too foul-mouthed.
Yeah, it was kind of like an experimental thing, and it didn't work.
Right. Yeah. All right, Katie?
This is smack dab in the middle for me. It's at five. Just because even though Chucky is definitely not a new character, and all the times that I've gone to Horror Nights, aside from when he had an appearance, if not him himself had an appearance on Tram, but when they had the other dolls there, this is the only time I've seen Chucky in a maze at Universal, because I haven't seen one before this. Chucky terrifies me. I am terrified of dolls and puppets, so this I would go to because there's not a lot that like I'm genuinely terrified of at Horror Nights. And this one I am. There's stuff that I'm terrified of that I won't touch. And this is stuff that's like, I'll dip my feet in it. Like I shouldn't because I'm going to regret it, but like I will. I went to a double feature of the most recent one. I know like the one with Aubrey Plaza for my birthday because it was a funny thing. Like I went to Toy Story 4, went to Child's Play, and then I went to Toy Story 4. But
all the Dow movies.
A lot of people did that exact order. But yeah, so I put it because, you know, even though it's not new, it's new to me at Horror Nights. And so that's why I put it kind of in the middle, because I'm very curious and it has potential to make me want to cry.
Isn't it crazy? Like,
right. It depends. We'll see it. Like after I go, we'll see how it changes. Because like if they use scare actors versus if they use animatronics is going to deter whether or not I like it or not.
Ben.
This one's number eight for me. I'm fine with Chucky. I know a lot of people love Chucky and mad respect. In the show, Mark Hamill does his voice, which I'm super stoked about, but it's just not my thing. Like a lot of people love Chucky. I'm not one of those people. I'll watch.
I'm with Ben.
I'll watch the movies. Like they're fun, but if I'm going to a thing, like Chucky's not going to be my first choice.
You know what's interesting, though, from what I was listening to a couple of other podcasts, and apparently this Chucky maze is going to go be a bit meta. Like, it's not going to be just your normal Chucky maze. They're going to go meta with it and make fun or have fun with the audiences who watch Chucky and Chucky's effect on culture. So I'm really interested in what they're going to do here, because that sounds very interesting. What's interesting to me is also the enduring longevity. Of course, those two words are just repetitive. The enduring horror aspect of dolls. We got Megan, Chucky. We got the
toys.
The Conjuring. What's her name?
Oh, no,
Annabelle.
Sorry. Annabelle. Like
hard pass.
Yeah, and then there's Mrs. Chucky, whoever she was. All right. So Mrs. Chucky. So who started that time, that round? That was
Natalie started that one. Now so Danae.
We'll Natalie started. Okay. Danae. So you get the next one, which is Holidays in Hell. Holidays in Hell takes visitors on a petrifying trip through a series of psychotic seasonal celebrations.
This was another like throwaway. I just kind of threw it on the list towards the end because I don't care. Pass.
I think they did this one last year.
Was it last year? Or it might have been a few years ago.
Or maybe it was a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Jeez, man.
The Holidays in Hell. I did that one as number 5. I just like the different variations. I love how like you can go from one place to another, how they, you know, it was cool before when I saw it and how they did, you know, all these different holidays and the characters and the costumes and just going from set to set and it not all having kind of the same feel, but each room kind of having its own unique vibe. So that's why I placed that high.
Cool. Katie.
Okay, I was a little torn on this one between this and my number 6, but which I'll say when that happens. But I put it at 3 just because when they had the scare zone, I loved it. I loved the Holidays in Hell scare zone when they had it on the Metro sets. But, and I feel like I did like the maze the first time around, but whether or not I'm going to like it if it's the same or depending on how they change it is going to also depend where it's at. But I like the concept of Holidays in Hell. And I liked the whole idea of taking all the holidays and making them scary, just because obviously as someone who likes horror and is Halloween all year long, spooky season all year long, it kind of brings that into it. But I'm conflicted too because of the fact that it's been done before. So if it's repetitive, it'll move down on my list.
Yeah. And these lists, very likely can change. Ben.
Why another Z? Why? Why all the Z's?
this is
true. I went heavy on the Z's.
This one's number 9 for me. Now, as far as where I'm ranking things, all of these are probably going to be really cool and fun. But I'm just like, give me Halloween. I don't want scary 4th of July or scary St. Patrick's Day. Give me scary Halloween. That's what I want. That's kind of my only basis for this. I'm sure it's going to be awesome, but that's kind of why I put it at 9.
Natalie.
So shockingly, Ben and I agree. This is also my 9. We haven't lined up anything as of yet, so I'm a little bit surprised. What I'm going to say is going to be really weird as to justify why it's 9. I remember the first time they did this, I don't know, however many years ago, I feel like it was on the back lot, and it was probably my favorite maze that year. Loved it. It felt so original. It was so fun. I really enjoyed the scares in it. And I guess I'm just like, it felt so fresh then that I'm like, what are you going to do different? It feels like a throwaway, they needed to fill space kind of maze this year. So I would love to be surprised, but I don't think I'm going to be.
Yeah.
Right.
Natalie, I think you might be thinking of when they had the scare zone because that was on the back lot.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I remember because I remember a maze. I thought
there was a maze. It was after the scare zone.
Okay.
So the first time that they did it, I don't know if it was called Holidays in Hell, but it was on the back lot. It was the scare zone on the back lot where you went through, and it was the different
holidays. But I do remember going through a holidays one time, and I was like Ben, I was looking forward to the Halloween one, but then I loved the St. Patrick's one. That the scary leprechaun was amazing.
But then they did the
Krampus at the end.
Pre-pandemic, I think.
And didn't they even have like something like a like a Thanksgiving dinner where somebody mm-hmm. was being stuffed on the table or something? Yeah. All right.
That one I think was in the maze. That yeah. one wasn't in the scare zone. That one was in the maze.
So I think this one has a chance. And at the very end, I'm going to be thinking about it. We're going to ask, what's your dark horse that might be the one that surprises you beyond what you think? So be thinking about that at the very end. All right, real quick. And we're going to not spend as much time, but Cheeseman, you are first. Let me find it. This is the, what the heck is this? This is, I don't have it. What is The Exorcist Believer, inspired by the Universal Pictures terrifying new horror film from Blumhouse and Morgan Creek Entertainment. If you guys have seen the trailers, they are out everywhere right now. Cheeseman, what do you think?
Nine.
Not this is your number.
I'm still mad about the Halloween movies, and yes, it's the same filmmaker, so I'm just like, okay, going to ruin another thing. So
I'm going to tell you, I agree with Luke 100% this one. It's the same guys who did the last Halloween franchise trilogy that just finished.
I haven't seen anything, and I was so excited. I was like, what is this movie? And now I'm pissed.
I know. Now that Natalie has thoughts about this trilogy of films that came out.
Yeah.
Okay. Katie.
This is 8 for me. Ooh. They've done The Exorcist so many times. I'm just like, it's if I do not have time at the end of the night, I will not be upset missing it. Like I don't even know how many times I've been through the Exorcist maze at this point at Horror Nights, and I've only been going to Horror Nights since 2015. So it'll take a lot for this maze to surprise me. Also, I'm not usually a fan of like one of the times that they did it in the past where they had the string hanging that hits your face. It's not my thing. I don't like it. So if they do things like that again, it's not my taste. It's on the bottom for me too.
I do remember though, when we were at Midsummer Scream a few years back, and Murdy, what's Murdy's first name? John Murdy, who plans, he was talking about how they had done all these surveys, and everybody every year was saying they want The Exorcist at Halloween Horror Nights. And this is probably, like you said, Katie, about like 5 or 6 years ago.
And they keep doing it.
Yeah. And now it keeps coming back. So,
yeah. And also, I don't watch The Exorcist movies. So I've seen the original one. There's reasons why I didn't watch it for so long, mm-hmm. but like demon movies, like actual demon possession movies, I have a hard time watching. So.
Yeah, I know that my mom is still mad at my dad for taking her to see this movie in a movie theater. But I love the Exorcist movie. I think it's high art almost. I would almost describe it as high art and not like an exploit. But I do understand what Katie's saying. There are very many people who like the dark demonic movies. Nope, they're out. Ben.
This one's number 3 for me. I'm a sucker for The Exorcist. although I admit I did not follow. I just saw that it was coming out. I didn't follow who was making it. And I didn't even see the third Halloween movie of the recent trilogy. Because after the second one, I was like, I don't care.
Ben, but you got to see the third one just to complete your hate.
No, don't.
I'm trying to remember if I saw
it. It doesn't exist.
I choose not to.
I don't think I saw the third one either.
But yeah, I mean, but so that's a little disappointing to learn. But I am a sucker for The Exorcist. I like demonic possession movies. That's weird. But like I said, my horror skews more towards the supernatural. So that's. I mean, I know stuff like Chucky is supernatural, and that's, you know, he's the spirit of a serial killer, blah blah blah. But
I thought wasn't there one version where he was AI?
That was the new one.
Oh, that was the remake that they did.
The remake with Albert Plaza.
Did you know that, Natalie? He was AI.
Yeah, he was
stupid.
AI. Stupid. So stupid.
All right, Natalie.
I love demonic things, so. And I'm, you know, it's as much as I was like, oh, I went in holidays once and that's it. And I don't need it anymore. I could go an Exorcist every year. It's kind of the same thing of like they do a Halloween maze. I'm going to go in it every year and I'm going to love it. But just I want to be in that environment. So One, I didn't even know this movie was coming out, and I just saw a billboard of it. And I was like, what is this? So, you know, I'll probably see the movie. I'm excited for the maze. I'm happy to be in there with the little doll that sits up really fast and is vomiting green stuff. It's great. Get me in there as much as possible.
What was your rank on that, Natalie?
Two.
All right.
So Natalie's one is Last of Us. Two is Exorcist. What Exorcist something?
Believer.
All right.
I'm a believer. Today?
This is number nine for me because, you know, I mean, like, I will not watch the Exorcist movie. I'm a firm, as it's no secret, I'm a Christian, and Ephesians 5:11 says, you know, take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. We're not.
Are you preaching at us?
A little bit, yeah. I watched Rosemary's Baby a couple years ago, and I should not have watched it. It was a very well made film, but I don't appreciate the glorification of anything demonic. Well, but yeah,
I get that. You know what? And I think we all are at different spots here, and I do understand that, and I mm-hmm. fully appreciate there are people that have a very strong opinion and conviction about this. I personally thought The Exorcist was a great example of light overcoming darkness.
And that's great.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer when I went to see Last Voyage of the Demeter, and I didn't even look at it. I was like, this is going to give me nightmares.
Oh, it will. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not trying to get you to change your opinion on that. I just, I think The Exorcist is a movie that was written by a person who's very committed to their faith, very committed to the Catholic Church, and wanted to expose the evil that actually exists and how good can ever, and God can overcome. So maybe give it a second consideration.
When The Exorcism of Emily Rose came out I plugged my ears and didn't watch the trailer every single time. It was the worst part about going to movies at that time. Because
but you know, that movie was done by a committed Christian who wanted to.
I've heard great things about the movie. It's just, I cannot.
Oh, by the way, Danae, this is not me in any way demeaning anyone who has a different opinion. Yeah.
Right. It's one of the work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We all have our own personal convictions on this. And that's fine that you guys think differently. I'm just like, I'm not going to go near them.
That's
personally.
Fair.
So that's number zero for Danae. And Luke, did you do that? Oh, Luke started this one. Sorry, Katie, you get this next one. We're going to go ahead and move very quickly here. This is Monstrous. The Monsters of Latin America includes Latin American folklore's most terrifying ghosts and creatures. Katie, what say you?
This is a four for me because they haven't done something like this before. And I do appreciate that they are going with a cultural influence on a maze, especially since Dia de los Muertos is so important to a lot of people. And a Latin American history and all that. So I appreciate it from that aspect. And I appreciate that it hasn't been done before. So that has my interest piqued because I don't know what to expect. And if I don't know what to expect because it's either an original thing or they haven't done it before, that's going to be high on my list because it's something new. And usually when they do an original maze, it's good for the first year, at least for the first year. So I've never been disappointed by a maze that's an original idea on its first year.
Yep.
So I have no idea what to expect, but I like,
thank you, Lily.
That's why it's at number four. Cause like, I, that's.
No, I just wanted to put this out there real quick. Lily, who is a good fan of the show, and we meet her at the Comic Cons. And I love Lily to death. She and I bond over our love of all things Peanuts and Snoopy, and the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown is that's our jam. And Lily loves Halloween. So, all right. Thank you, Lily. Ben.
Monstros. I butchered that. Monstros. Monstros. Sauce. I don't know. Anyway, this is number two for me. I'm really excited about it because as a white bred Midwesterner who now lives in Los Angeles, which is an international city, I absolutely love being steeped in other cultures, and particularly Latin American culture has a large influence in Southern California because it's kind of part of Latin America, historically, not kind of, it is. And so I've had a lot of exposure to Latin American culture and traditions and legends and all this kind of stuff, and I love it. And so I'm super excited about this. And you look at all, so my heritage is German, and I love the Krampus. Like, I just want to throw that out there because we were talking about Krampus earlier. Just, that's a heritage thing for me. Love the whole history and the legend behind that. But then peeking into other people's cultures and seeing what monsters are in their legends is just something I absolutely love. So I am super stoked for Monsters of Latin America.
I'm there with you. Natalie.
This is 6 for me. I guess when I picture this, it's more like beautiful, and I'm curious to see what's going to be scary about it. So I'm happy to be my opinion kind of changed and really get to enjoy different parts of it. So it's in the middle, but could easily toggle up.
Mm-hmm. Natalie, so when you say like the way you vision it, is it kind of more like when Crimson Peak came out and it had that kind of period influence, like it's going to be more of a romanticized look to it?
A little bit more of how I'm imagining it. So it's
okay.
I'm curious what it's going to be. So I'm super open and excited to see it. Yeah. But it's
what's the Pixar film about?
Liking more.
Sorry, the Pixar film, Coco? The beautiful. Coco? Yeah, Coco. I got a little Coco vibe when I read the description.
That's to me the same thing, where it feels a little bit more beautiful, colorful, family friendly. And I like a little bit more blood and Satan and guts and killers and ghosts. And that's more of like, I want to try and get scared. So I'm like, am I going to get scared on this? I don't know. So
she cuddles with the Terrifier at night. Let's just. Danae.
This was 7 for me, just because there's so many other things I'm way more excited about. Like, I think we have a comment about it saying like from Lily, I guess the Chupacabra will be in that one. And I am a big cryptids fan. And this did, I know that Universal leans into
the. By the way, Lily lives in Mexico, so she has some insight into this.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Like I know Universal leans into like the films. That's their whole thing. But this made me kind of wish we had like a cryptids house to go through. Like it would be so cool to see like Chupacabra and New Jersey Devil and Mothman and Bigfoot like all in a house together.
Ben would be so excited if they had Bigfoot.
No, me too. My dream, all right, I'm giving it away, is to work right on a Bigfoot movie. I love Bigfoot so much.
Sasquatch.
Ben likes, Ben, you're a Bigfoot fan, aren't you?
I believe in Bigfoot. Yeah. I believe that Bigfoot exists.
I remember you mentioned it like a long time ago on the show.
Yep.
I don't believe in a lot of things like that, but Bigfoot, I'm like, that's plausible.
We're going to have a Bigfoot specific show. This is awesome.
We got to. Danae? I have so many things I want to say right now.
Keep going, Danae. Did we interrupt? We interrupted you.
I mean, you know, just like a cryptid's house with, you know, Chupacabra, New Jersey Devil, Bigfoot, Mothman, again, shout out West Virginia. And then maybe even like Nessie, Loch Ness Monster, because that's definitely another cryptid. I think you could do, Universal, you could do so much with a house with all these things in it if we're going to veer away from just making films.
You know that the world's largest, the world's most expansive, largest search for Nessie is ongoing right now.
Mm-hmm. I have heard that. Yeah.
By the way, also, I'm just going to throw this in here. Señora de la Santa Muerta. Do you guys ever, when I first moved to town, there were a lot of the Hispanic, Latin American pharmacies in town. And if you would go to the back of them, they had like an altar where you could pray in front of. It's the Santa Muerta, which is basically for us, it looks like the Grim Reaper, but it's a saint, the saint of the underclass, the saint of. I don't know a lot about it, even though I did write a script in where she came and killed people. It was awesome, but she was defending the underdogs. I just want you to know that.
It literally translates as Saint Death.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, the altars and the murals look like the Virgin Mary, except she's a skeleton.
Right.
And I don't know why I, you know, you guys know I'm a believing, practicing Christian as well, but I love that stuff.
So Lily says it's bad. It's totally bad. The Muerta thing. All right. I'm listening to Lily on this one.
Oh yeah. It's like a, like there's like a cult aspect to it.
Yeah.
Like,
because you go into these pharmacies and like there's a couple of them in downtown LA and they have like potions and witch spells and stuff. And sitting right in front of the Lady Muerta, I'm like, oh, what is this? But it's interesting.
Oh yeah, Luke, I don't touch it. I don't touch it. I just like the imagery.
Yeah. Luke, did you go yet?
I didn't.
Yeah.
So kind of like Danae, like, I mean, there's so much stuff on here that seemed like interesting. I have it as 8, partly because like I don't know a whole lot about it. I did look it up before and I didn't see a lot of images that made it like look like the costumes would be super cool. Although the thing you just showed, that makes me a lot more interested in it. And I do see this as the one that'll probably surprise me the most that you're kind of talking about that. Yep. I'll probably be like, oh, that was really cool. But it's just, it's number 8 on mine just because I don't know like a whole lot about it. And there's so much other interesting stuff that was more iconic that I'm more recognized to and used to. But I'm definitely interested and definitely want to see this one and love when they do original ones. And I feel like this one will.
I do too. I love the original ones.
So I am looking forward to this one, even though it's like 8 on my list.
All right, we got 4 left. We're going to do these kind of quickly. Who started this round?
Me.
Was it Kate? Did you start, Katie? Okay, yeah. Cool. So, Ben, this is yours. Stranger Things 4. Stranger Things 4 brings season 4 of Netflix's original series to life, transporting guests to Hawkins, Indiana, where they will encounter the newest villain, Vecna, hell-bent on obliterating the volatile barrier between the Upside Down and the real world in an attempt to reign supreme. Ben, what do you think? Where's this rank?
This one's smack dab in the middle for me. I like Stranger Things a lot. I really do like it, and I loved season 4. It was great.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's like, oh, cool, Stranger Things. I'll go see that. But it's not the thing I'm most excited about.
Natalie.
It's number 3 on my list. I think same thing. We've seen some of this content before. I do love season 4. I can't wait to stand in line and hear some Kate Bush because it's been a minute since that's been around. You know, so I'm ready to get right into it. It will be one of the ones that like I have to do, even though I'm sure the line will be really long, even though I have Express. So, you know, I will.
Natalie's got Express the first Wednesday it's open. Danae.
This was, I didn't want to hop on if you were done.
A long pause just for fun.
This was my number 1 because I'm a huge Stranger Things fan. And if you guys follow us, we know that right after the season aired, my brother and I, the Samblings, we did a Stranger Things episode covering it. Katie and Emily and I had the pleasure of going to the Stranger Things experience. And that actually happened for me on a very horrible day. And it turned everything around for the evening. So 10 out of 10 recommend Stranger Things experience. I very much want to do Stranger Things at Universal. Yeah, today.
And didn't you have a friend who wrote the Stranger Things musical?
Oh, yeah, I did. I think it is just wrapped off Broadway, but Stranger Sings, the parody musical written by my friend from college, Jonathan Hoag. It is excellent. It's all on Spotify and I think anywhere else that you stream music if you want to take a listen to it. And it is so much fun because it comes from a fan base that loves Stranger Things, but also knows how to write like comedy and fun musicals. Yep. So definitely recommend Stranger Things.
Cool. Cheeseman.
Yeah, it was an easy one for me. I've been loving the show and I'm especially excited to see what they do with Vecna in this one. Cause he has that kind of like the Freddy Krueger kind of vibe, you know, and all that. So I just think it's going to be interesting what they do with, you know, the elevating the people. I feel like hopefully they do some really cool effect type stuff. And I don't know. It was an easy one.
I agree. I think this is the first time. It's the first season that Stranger Things had a real villain rather than just monsters that screamed at you.
Yeah.
I agree with you. This would have been my 1 or 2. I didn't do my list, but this is right up there. Katie.
Okay. So there's a, this is it, but to this one, I have it too. Love Stranger Things. The first time that they did the maze, loved it. The second time I did not. This time I did really, really enjoy season four. The bad thing is that because we went to the Stranger Things experience, which was so well produced, such a cool experience with just really immersive, it's going to be really hard to not compare it to that. Mm-hmm. But also this maze has the biggest probability of being a disappointment to me. Mm-hmm. Yep. Because set deck wise, it's beautiful. It's on a soundstage. They can do more. So like, as far as the visuals go, it'll be great. But as far as the actual experience in the past, I didn't know if it was worth the long wait because it's one of the longest lines.
Yep.
So I have hopes for it and I like it, but there's a lot of ways that it could possibly not be worth it to me.
All right.
So
it's number two for you, right? Is that what you said?
Yes, it is, but it has potential to end up being at the bottom.
All right. This next one, we're starting with Natalie. It's Universal Monsters Unmasked. It expands on the Universal Monsters legacy with horror icons The Invisible Man, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, The Phantom of the Opera, and The Hunchback of Notre Dame coming together for the first time in a chilling new story. The Haunted House features an original score from Grammy Award winning musician Slash. Natalie, where's this stand with you?
I mean, I feel like a party pooper. It's going to be an 8. It just, I don't know. I really enjoyed
the
Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like last year it didn't stand out to me. And I think it was something I was more excited for last year. And I feel disappointed. And I think a little bit of that is kind of going into this. But again, what we're talking about, this has the biggest possibility of a comeback. So I'm going to do it. And I hope it surprises me.
All right, Danae.
So if Stranger Things wasn't there, this would have been my number one because I really love the classic monsters. I know he's not listed, but one of my favorite books is Dracula, and I'm reading Dracula Daily right now. And excited. Sorry?
You're reading the whole book daily?
Okay, so there's a thing you can sign up online. It's called Dracula Daily because the book Dracula is written in journal, telegram, letter format. So you can read it all in order from, I think it's June to November every year. So we are in Dracula season and I'm following along.
Isn't what? Dracula like the son of the devil? Isn't he so demonic?
In the Bram Stoker's Dracula, yes, they did go that route.
Yes.
If you read the original book, he is truly just a monster. Yeah. It is a monster that has like a humanoid form is the thing. And he is
I couldn't resist, you know.
I know. But I'm also, well, actually, all the time. But yeah, I'm really excited for this. I wish we had another round of Universal Monster movies. I know they tried and then they failed and they stopped.
They're coming back. They're building the Universal Monster Land in Florida as part of Epic Worlds Universal Studios. Nice. So I think we're going to get these movies. All right, Cheeseman.
I hope so.
I put this kind of as an easy two as well. I mean, being universal and having something that feels definitely universal as, you know, the Universal Classic Monsters, I just feel it's a necessity to have there. I don't like how much they like alter the appearance type stuff. I mean, it's kind of fun how they reinvent the looks, but I kind of wish, you know, they'd have a little more of that similar to what we're used to with classic stuff. I like when they do with these two, they usually do like the double jump scares where one thing jumps out at you and then you're, and then on the other side, another one of the characters jumps out. Like I think they did with like the Wolfman and Frankenstein or something like that in the past. So, and I just love that Slash does the score for these, you know, it's always really cool to like hear what he does with them. And then you're walking out and it's just blasting through like the walkway areas. So, I doubt it will be like super scary, but it'll be fun. And I think like the design and stuff like that and being part of the Universal property, hopefully they invested the time into it.
All right, Katie.
So earlier I mentioned that Holidays in Hell and my number six could possibly switch, that my number six is Universal Monsters. The first year they had it, it being a new idea, original concept, I thought it was amazing. Like Natalie, the second time they did it, it just didn't have that same magic that it had the first time they did it. So that's why it's at six to me, because if it leans towards, like, we have seen all these characters in the maze before, aside from Hunchback, because Hunchback was not in the original one. But all the other characters, like, that they mentioned in that have been in the first Universal Monsters maze.
The Invisible Man might have been there. We just missed him.
No, he was actually in the maze. Literally was actually in the maze. So
I almost spit out my line.
So it has potential to surprise me if it gives me that same feeling that it gave me the first year and they have something that is good about it. It's just the second year I was underwhelmed by it. Yep. So I'm hoping that it is the one that surprises me, because the first year I went to it, I went through that maze twice. So I'm hoping it's more like the first year.
Cool. Ben.
I can't say anything about this that hasn't already been said. This is my number one. It's Universal. It's the Universal Monsters. I'm excited about it. It's not the typical Bela Lugosi, Boris Karloff, Dracula, Frankenstein. This is Jekyll and Hyde and Invisible Man and Hunchback out of left field.
Love that.
And I would actually like to see a newer or a different interpretation of Phantom of the Opera as well.
Yeah.
Because we've had that kind of over and over again over the years. So I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be fun. I don't know. I think, like Luke said, I don't think it's going to be that scary necessarily, but I think it will be fun. So I'm looking forward to it.
The first year had some good jump scares, though.
It's lower on my list because I don't think it's going to be scary, and I'm going to get scared. So that's how I make my list.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What'd you say, Katie?
I was saying that the first year, the Universal Monsters did have one of the best scares in the entire event.
So I thought they did too.
They did, because they had the performer pop out of the picture.
So, I love that. See, that's
so they have potential to have that scary element. Do I think it will have it? Like the rest of them said, no, but it does have some potential.
Yep. Is everybody switching around as I'm trying?
No, we're back to normal.
No. I remember when the Universal Monsters, they were pictures on the wall and they would jump through the pictures. Yeah. I love that. And that scared me to death. And one of it, you walk into a room and there's Frankenstein on the table and there's there's a picture and you think you're looking at Frankenstein, but it hops out of the picture and then you turn around and Frankenstein sets up. It was great. It was good. But like, it might, by the way, I love the Universal Monsters. I think they might be better as Instagram backgrounds than monsters in a maze sometimes. I don't know, but wait a second. And Andy said the Silent Hunchback of Notre Dame movie just turned 100 a few days ago. Wow. That's pretty impressive.
That's all right, probably guys, why they're doing it.
Yep. We are down to our final one. And wait, who started that one? Natalie started, right?
Natalie did.
Okay. So Danae, you are going to be our final one. Let me just describe it to you. Terra Tram, which was gone for a few years. It's Terra Tram the Exterminators with a Z, Ben. Ugh. It puts guests on the world. Why are there so many Zs? Anyways, it puts guests in the world-renowned Universal backlot and in the middle of an insect uprising led by the devious Larry Larva. Wow. Whose goal is to exterminate humans from planet Earth. Horror fans will also walk along the Jupiter's Claim set from Nope, where they will encounter the tethered from Us in an epic crossover from two of director Jordan Peele's epic blockbusters. Does that sound exciting to you, Danae, or not?
I would love it more. It would be more exciting if it was like a theme the whole way through that kind of matched. Like, I do love the Jordan Peele films, so I love that we're ending with that. But yeah, this one is a solid like 5 for me. I like the idea of being able to sit while going through it. That's how it works. You don't sit.
You do not.
You sit for about 5 minutes.
I haven't
done
the Terra Trams, so I didn't know that. Oh, I got to walk.
It Terra Trams you out to the back lot where you walk around.
Yeah, once you get to the back lot, you walk.
Cheeseman.
I put this as number 3. I'm probably not as excited about the theme as other years, but because I felt like The Purge and some of the other stuff worked really well with the kind of moving you to the area and all that, and just some of the other things they've done in the past. But still, definitely 3. I just love going on, doing the tram tour, being there by the Bates Motel, how they have the Norman Bates out in front of the Psycho House and everything too, and just the whole kind of traveling through and, you know, doing multiple things, things walking outdoors and seeing, you know, where the plane crash is and the whole Grinch stuff as well. Just all the things they kind of, that is an aspect of that. I love the experience of that. So to me, no matter what the theme is, you know, like it still always will make it fun, you know, and I think the Jordan Peele stuff will be great too. So I put it at number three.
Katie.
This is number nine for me. Not a biggest fan of Tram in general. I think The Purge was good. I think the year where they had Freddy and all his different outfits was good.
Was out there for what, 10 years? Good.
The Purge makes sense to me because it works in the set. So, like, to me, sometimes the set for Terror Tram takes me out of it because it's like, would this really happen in this setting?
Yeah.
And it's kind of just seems like they drag it out longer than it really needs to be. And they'll like spread the performers out really far. So, and also they've done Exterminators before, so there's not like a new idea with that. So yeah, it's nine for me. Me and my roommate already said like, want to just maybe skip Terror Tram this year. Like, it closes early, so it's, you have to schedule your whole night around it.
It takes a long time. It's a long one.
Yeah. So I do like the set from Nope, as an addition to the back lot. But I found that when they separate it on Tram, it doesn't translate as well. Like what Danae was saying, it kind of needs to be one seamless kind of thing. So I'm torn on it. I honestly, it's kind of just, it is what it is to me now.
But they're combining Nope and Us together. Nope. All right, Ben.
This one is number four for me. I enjoy the Terror Tram regardless of the theme. The bug exterminator thing just seems so campy to me. I kind of dig it because it's so campy.
Larry Larva.
Yeah, like it's so stupid. Like, I love it. And I guess part of my thing is I have not gone to as many Halloween Horror Nights as the rest of you have. So like, I've only gone like twice before. So a lot of this stuff is new to me. So, you know, maybe that's why I'm more excited about some things. But yeah, I like the Terror Tram. I like they drive you out there and then they're like, oops, you have to walk now. And then, you know, you can go through the crashed airplane and all that stuff. And then the addition of the Jordan Peele stuff just seems really fun to me, and that's super creepy stuff too, so yeah. I'm excited about it. So isn't number four,
don't they still have like the Grinch is Still Christmas set back
no
there?
It got taken out as far as I know,
because I was gonna say, for me, if they had Thing One and Thing Two showing up from the Cat in the Hat, those are the scariest things of my childhood.
As far as I know, that got taken out during the time that it was closed, but I could be wrong.
All right, Natalie, bring us home.
So this is number five. I will say this is a hard one for me to put at five because I always like the Terror Tram. I will always have a soft spot for the, you know, War of the Worlds set, for the Psycho House. I love this part of the night. It's really one of my favorite, no matter what the theme is. I will say my favorite one was when they did the Walking Dead. That just fit the entire space perfectly, and they will never match that ever again. And it feels weird for it to be, again, separated with different themes. And I think it was that way last year. I can't remember what was ahead of Us and Nope. And it was like, okay, I like these movies. That was cool to see that, but it wasn't necessarily scary. Whereas, like, if you're doing The Purge, if you're doing Walking Dead or something that lends itself to, like, jump scares and kind of the creepy atmosphere, that worked with throughout the whole thing. So... And I hate bugs. I'm sorry. Like, disgusting. I'm not looking forward to this part. So it's like, it normally should be higher on my list, but like the bug element, it just.
All right, guys, this has been fantastic. Everybody, I will collect everybody's list and we will post those on the website. to close out the show tonight. By the way, this has been fun. I can't wait to go. I know, Natalie, you've already got your tickets. Luke, I think you and I, we were actually, Jonathan Wilkinson's actually flying into town to go to this. So we're going to try to coordinate with him. I'd love to go with the Scare Guy group here if we can make it happen, but I'll probably go a couple times. I'm also going to the Orlando Halloween Horror Nights as well on October.
I've never been.
October 4th. I'm going to, 4th or 5th, either Wednesday or Thursday. My buddy Greg has free passes. So I'm like, yeah, so awesome. All right. So this is how we're going to close out the show. We'll start with Katie, then Cheeseman, Danae, Natalie, and Ben. What? Tell us how where people can find you online, but when you close out, but also what is the one house that might surprise you, has the most potential to maybe surprise you, be the dark horse that you, that, you know, you didn't think it was so great, but maybe it might. Thank you, Lily.
Maybe it might.
I'm Katie, Katie Christine. You can find me across all social media at KT_Christine, TikTok, Instagram, the whole shebang. I would like to say Twitch, but that's been pretty much non-existent lately. But you can also find me at the Con Girls as well. Hopefully Danae and I can put together some spooky content for the spooky season. So just kind of keep an eye out on the Con Girls Instagram for that. And I think, I mean, I kind of said it, Universal Monsters has the potential to bring itself really far back up on that list if it's done right, and Chucky.
Cheeseman.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at CheeseOnCouch and also the scareguy.com. And I did mention mine before, the monsters of Latin America. I feel like that'll be the one to surprise me the most, or because I just don't know what to expect. And I just saw a couple of the kind of the monster creature things. So it'll be interesting with the set design and the characters and how they do that whole thing and incorporate the music. And it sounds like there's some food themes going on as well with that. So that'll be interesting too.
For the record, I didn't do my hype list, but if my number one would have been the monsters of Latin America, that's the one I'm most looking forward to. So, all right, Danae.
You can find me on TikTok at Danae Sams right here. I don't know what I'll be most surprised for. I think it'll be fun. If I'm hanging out with you guys, I know it's going to be a great time.
That's awesome. Natalie.
You can find me at Natalie Michelli. I pretty much only do Instagram, and that's kind of every once in a while. And I don't really do anything else. But I'm curious to see if Holidays in Hell surprises me. It's shocking how much I loved it and how immediately went to the bottom of my list. So we'll see what happens.
That's a big swing. Yeah. And Ben, take us out.
All right. So you can find me at Ben Cleaver on all social medias, BenKlieWer. Surprisingly, it wasn't already taken. I'm thinking of getting rid of Twitter/X.
Okay, just let me laugh at that for a second. That was very funny. All right, go ahead.
I'm thinking of getting rid of Twitter/X because it seems stupid now. but I'll still be doing the Instagram and Threads now. I've got like a couple things posted on TikTok from like 2 years ago. Anyway, I think I'm going to agree with Natalie. I think because I haven't experienced it before, Holidays in Hell and what you guys were telling me about the previous iteration, that might be it was ranked number 9 on my list, but that might be the one. It's clearly got the greatest potential to surprise me because it can't go any lower. So that one, if I was going to bet on it, I'd say that would be the one that would surprise me the most. Other than that, Jim, should I bring her home?
Bring her home.
Well, thank you so much for watching our show tonight, The Scare Guy. We did a little happy hour with you tonight. Thank you so much to Natalie for joining us on the show tonight. Natalie, you are a blast to have on the show. Thank you so much. What a great guest. And looking forward to having you on the next time. Again, you can find all of this at theconguy.com and thescareguy.com. Follow us on social media. Get a good night's sleep. Watch a scary movie before you go to bed. And remember, everyone, the reason I'm drinking out of this red cup is because whenever Ben Cleaver shows up, it's always a party. Have a good one.
All right.